just to show you a part of scriptures that girl just got me meditating upon. I believe it will bless you, because it's blessing me tremendously. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Wow. Do you know that any gathering that you made up your mind is unto the Lord, will always be unto the Lord? Honest. If it's ordinary, just let's have a meal and you're just in a table based unto the Lord, he will come. How much more when we gather for the purpose of seeking his face or worshiping him, he will always be there. If you ask me the truth, I don't believe that there's any fellowship or meeting or service we hold that at least one person's life does not change totally. Now, not many like to testify. It's because they don't understand Bible or scriptures. Because how do you be a witness for him? By letting people know that he's alive and well. How do they know? Look at what he's just done in my life. When did he do it? Today. When did he do it? Yesterday. You mean he's still doing it? Oh, yes. That's the essence of testimony. Now, testimony doesn't necessarily have to be from the stage. The fact that you're telling somebody about Jesus Christ that you affect their life to consider him is a testimony. That's actually what defines a witness. Glory be to God in the highest. 2 Timothy. I'll read from verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Can you repeat it? Grace. Amen. Come on, come on. Say grace. Mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord be yours today and forever. Tell somebody, say be yours today and forever in the name of Jesus. Yes. Amen. I'm continuing. I'm in verse 3 now. He said, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure heart, that is, with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. In other words, I don't serve God because of an agenda. Mm-mm. It's with a pure heart. Some will serve God because of certain reasons. Paul said, no, I'm serving God with a pure heart. Now, if you say God has been good to me, of course he has been good to me. And will continue to be good to me. But I don't have an agenda. I don't have a hidden motive. I love God. Why? Because he has made it so with me. It's his grace. The Bible says because he first loved us, that's why we're able to love him in return. And that's what the devil fights. He likes to distract us. He doesn't want us to reciprocate this love. So myself, from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Again, that was a bold statement. I can say that, but God will help me. I will be able to say that very soon. He said, say what? Yeah, Paul. He said, that without ceasing, I make mention of you. Wow. In my prayers, not every day, night and day. The truth is that I pray for you, but specifically, there are some I pray for when I'm here, if there's a need there, if there's a pressure here, but I pray for everybody. But if you say, Pastor, are you remembering me? Yes. Not so much specifically you every day. But Paul said to Timothy, say, you every night and day. Ah, this Paul could pray. That explains why his ministry was the way it was. And it is still the way it is even long after he has gone to heaven. It was birthed and established in the Word with prayers. It says, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, be mindful of your tears, okay, that I may be filled with joy. I'm mindful. I know you are going through stuff. Don't assume I don't know. And that's why I always pray for you, Timothy. I see you, Timothy. I can discern your future, Timothy. I don't joke with you. I pray for you, Timothy. Ladies and gentlemen, I think it's such a blessing to know there's someone that does that for you. But our generation doesn't know that. They attack all their fathers. They compete and attack their fathers. And that's why we have a lot of teaching to do for our generation. I was in a question and answer session with some pastors. And the question came up, that the issue of fathers, what do you think? And I immediately discerned that there was a lot of troubles going on with that. Now, I don't think any father will oppress any son in this light, because you choose whom your father is. You choose whom he is, and why would he oppress you? But whilst we were talking, you know, there was argument like, forget it or something like that. It's okay, because some have experienced fathers in a very strange way, because sometimes things fall off. But the question you want to ask yourself, even with your earthly father, your biological father, don't you sometimes clash? So why will you now have a little problem with your spiritual father, and now you go to town and want to kill and destroy everything? Come on. You better withdraw into your shell and say, God, help me and humble me. And if truly this man is just an oppressor, then direct me in the way you want me to go. No, I will destroy him. You can't destroy him. Let God handle him. To try to destroy him, you will destroy yourself first. Lessons from David. Saul will kill him. He said, no, my father, no, I won't be. And when somebody came to look for cheap popularity with David, he said, Saul and his son, Jonathan, said, I saw them. He said, I thrust the spear. He thought he would fight David. He said, thank you, kill my enemy. David was, wow. And you could run around jumping and coming to tell me, you are not afraid? He asked the young men who were there, said, fall on him. This one is not fit to live. If he has no fear of God, to kill the anointed of God. But then the anointing had left Saul. An evil spirit had taken over. But David knew he had a destiny. I will not allow his fault and his punishment now destroy my own future. That's why I want Fontaineers. I say anywhere they are barbecuing their pastor, don't eat suya there, run away. Not your own pastor, their own pastor. Run away. If they can do that to their pastor, why are you there? They will tear you into shreds in the future. It's a lesson to be taught over and over. Because Paul said, you may have many teachers, not many fathers. The same Paul. So I was telling them, I said, look, it's a nomenclature relationship. Keep your relationship in constant repairs. The devil will attack your relationship, whether it's with your son or with your wife or with your husband. Talk less of your teacher or pastor. Say, I thank God myself from my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Wherefore I put you in remembrance. Don't forget who you are, that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hand. What a confidence. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power. Come on, help me. And of what? Love. And of what? Sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. I stop there quickly. Let me just quickly say this, that this was the very last letter Paul wrote in his life. At least I recorded it in the Bible. The last one. So, I think it will make you want to read it and study it. And you'll agree with me that this letter is applicable to anyone that is born again today. Is it true? Okay, if you don't agree, just say no, Pastor. I won't fight you. If that shows that we are yet to be on the same page, we'll be there one day in Jesus' name. But anyone who wants to make a sense or success or fulfill his ministry and calling, you will read this kind of book. You will study it. Titus, Timothy, they are ministry books. And you want to know, they were personal letters. Like I took my pen and I write a personal letter to Sister Amaka. Amaka, my daughter, I can see the grace of God on your life. And I'm right. That was exactly what happened. But that same letter has become a letter written from one generation to another generation. Written to all generations, that would be. Don't you see why it's good to really follow Jesus? Because your everyday life will become generational. Your everyday decision will become eternal. Meanwhile, you are just living your life. It was so personal. And what was he saying particularly there? As is typical, I will get into this a little bit more on Sunday. And what was he saying there? He said, hey, the bottom line, you don't need to be ashamed. He said, what? By the time he got through in verse 7, he said in verse 8, to the intent that you should not be ashamed of the gospel of me, his servant. And why did he say that? After he has said, For God has not given us, you and I, the spirit of fear or timidity, but of what? And what? Love. And what? That was when I said, so you don't need to be ashamed. As a matter of fact, if you look at it, it's got that the first six verses is motivating the young man. He's fueling him up, he's charging him up, motivating him, and telling, look, this is who you are, this is what you have. Come on. So be courageous, be bold, you have it. That's what he was saying. Then from 7 to 18, what was he doing? He's saying, but for you to be able to walk as bold as I'm saying, as strong as I'm saying, as confident as I'm saying, you need to watch your attitude. From 7 to 18. Then you get to chapter 2, personal exhortations for ministry. So watch this and watch this, watch this. I won't be able to go too much into details, but let me just stress some things as I close. He said, you know, I thank the God of our forefathers whom I serve with pure conscience, making remembrance of you, or making mention of you in my prayers, night and day. You are the subject of my thoughts. I thank God that I have seen in the ministry God bringing young men and women capable and anointing them and setting them forth. Timothy, heaven has a lot of investment in you, Timothy. Timothy, I'm glad that you don't even know who you are like you are. You should, but I want you to begin to know in certain ways today. Timothy, you are gifted. Timothy, you have no reason to be a coward. Timothy, you need to be strong and bold. Timothy, I want you to understand that how we know boldness is your ability to speak forth and confront issues with your words. In the kingdom, no matter how strong or intelligent as you are, if you cannot communicate what you have, you will not get it. If you don't say what you have on the inside, if you don't say the grace, you don't say the power, you don't say the gifting, you don't say the positive words, the healing, the deliverance, if you don't say it, if all you say is the fear, 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 after a while you'll be shut up for good. God forbid, that will not be your portion in Jesus' name. It's just the way it is in the kingdom. That's why we say the word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged speak it. It has a way of penetrating the most impervious of problems. But you must speak it. It becomes life on your lips. So when he was talking boldness, courage, if you look at the Hebrew for these words, is do not be cowed into keeping quiet. That's what he said. You don't need to shout, but be definite when you speak. Let there be clarity. Let them understand what you're saying. He said, when I call to what? To mind? The faith that was in your grandmother, that was first in your grandmother and then in your mother, which I am persuaded, I am convinced, is in you too. Hey, we talk of your grandmother. We talk of your mother. But I see much more in you. We are yet to fill you, Timothy. We are yet to. Timothy, I know you are 10,000 in your own church. But we are yet to fill you, Timothy. We are not saying go struggle with your pastor, with the pulpit. No. We are saying know who you are, know what you have in Christ Jesus, and come and open your mouth and declare. And let the world begin to move and get rearranged before you. You are the light of the world. There is something about you, there is something in you. And how did he advise him to do it? He said, now you've got to stir it up. That's the part of motivation. You have it, now stir it up. Come on, fan the fire, fan the flame. Reactivate it. He's the one-man cheerleader of Timothy. Timothy, come on, Timothy, you have it. Come on, move, Timothy. Come on, Timothy, you can do it, Timothy. That was what he was saying. You are not about to have it, Timothy. You are much more competent. You got this stuff. Play. And how do you play? Believe it in your heart and speak it forth. Hallelujah. It will unravel any mystery. It will destroy any wickedness. It will heal any sickness. It will open any gate. It will increase any stagnation. Hello. Hallelujah. It's a stir of the gift of God, which is in you, which I know you have by the laying on of the presbytery. And of course, which was imparted to you. I know when I laid hands on you, you got stuff too. So I'm not just saying what I don't know. You have it, Timothy. Then the next line says, so you should understand that God has not given us. You admire me, Timothy. This is my secret I'm giving to you, Timothy. Remember, that was his last letter. God has not given us the spirit of fear. How can God so much deck you and now give you fear? God does not give you any gift that is evil. It's not, I mean, God does not tempt us with evil. No, no, no. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of light. And who does know what? Yes, our shadow of turning. How can God deck you so much, got you healthy, heal and hurty, born again, gifted, filled, and not give you the spirit of cowardness? Of course not. So why are you taking what God has not given you? Send it away, back to sender. This was a mistaken address. Go back. He hasn't given me the spirit of fear. But of what? Come on. Of what? Power. So don't let your situation or circumstance redefine the grace of God in your life. As a matter of fact, grace cannot be redefined except you drop it and go for something else. So he's not giving us the spirit of fear. I'll be talking on Sunday. And most of the words used there, he never used in any part of the New Testament. One place. But he's giving us, not giving us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power. Dunamis. Hello. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ever imagine. Imagine. It's what you imagine that you can ask for. What you can ever imagine or ask. How? According to what? The power. Dunamis. What if you don't ask? Love and sound mind, discipline, self-control. Can you see? This is attitude. I wait for your testimonies. In the name of Jesus. Tell your neighbor, say, God, thank God I have it. I have it. Jesus is my Lord, my master, my friend. I have the life of God in me. I have his spirit in me. I am gifted from above. I am not afraid. I have power. I have love. I have a sound mind. My best is ahead of me. In the name of Jesus. Whatever I touch is blessed. In the name of Jesus. My desire is the word of God. Therein I meditate day and night. His word in my mouth is fire. Glory be to God in the highest. If you are one of those that believe what I'm saying, shout hallelujah. Come on, shout, I have it. In the name of Jesus. I've got it. Because I have it. Can I be frank with you? You can never be confident to make a demand on what you don't know you have. And you can never be confident to proclaim what you are not sure you have. If I walk up to her and I said, please, where is my watch? You know what that means? That means that she knows that I have a watch. And I know I have a watch. And we both know the watch I'm talking about. But if I don't believe I have a watch, you think I will ever be able to be, I'll be bold enough to stand before her? She said, what are you talking about? So a lot of people are cowardly of the gift. Ah, malabo sondele. The day you begin to open your mouth in earnest, in line with the word of God, you see things happen. Not joking. Remember where I started from? I serve this God with pure conscience. Not because of the money you are going to give me. No. If there is because of the money, oh, my debt will be paid. You have missed it from the word of God. The foundation is wrong. But I'm serving with a pure conscience. And along the line, there are issues. And the issues would like to replace God. I said, I beg, excuse me, let me serve him first. That issue will not see the living daylight. In the name of Jesus. I just said it clearly. Somebody is coming next week. With a kind of testimony that will shake the earth. And everybody will know that this can only be God. There is power in the word of God. We give him praise.